we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity. Very quickly, let's go to our anchor scriptures, our landing page for the teaching. Okay? We've been talking on, this is a second part, we're talking on moving mountains and walking on water. Hallelujah. Moving mountains and walking on water. Levros kevedola kappa. Have you spoken in tongues this morning? Deleko sevado kaya. Speak in tongues one more time. Hontevro pecto si kappa. Shalike prunda sushte paraba. Zenimendo si freboko susha. Oh, hallelujah. Prayer maketh man. You understand what that means? Prayer maketh man. And man there is generic. That means it doesn't matter how ugly your life is. If you understand how to depend on God, how to rely on God's grace in the place of prayer, you will rise. Glory, color will come out of your life. I tell people that within every ugly caterpillar is the potential to be a butterfly. And I put it this way. Ugly caterpillars do become beautiful butterflies. That means that beautiful butterfly that we see once upon a time was a caterpillar. A caterpillar is so ugly, people don't like it. People even run. It's scary. Praise God. But you see, within that caterpillar are the wings, are the colors. All they needed to do was to keep feeding. Just to keep eating. Just to keep feeding. And saying, one day I'll be in the air. Glory to God. I'm sure all the other creeping things on the ground thought they were the same thing. They thought they were at the same level. You know, there are people who think we're all the same. We're not the same. The playing ground is not level. Glory to God. Because we're in the same office doesn't mean we're the same. I am sponsored from the spirit realm. Yes, we are not the same. You are sponsored from the spirit realm. We are not the same. So as they are crawling, they are looking at the caterpillar. Good morning, Mr. Caterpillar. How are you today? We are all here. This is our destiny, to be on the ground. I'm sure Mr. Caterpillar will say, mind your business. I'm working on something. One day, I'm going to fly. Are you with me? And true to that, one day you see the caterpillar develop wings. And then flies. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are mountain movers. And we are water walkers. All right. Are you ready? You read on the screen. Put a scripture for them to read. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. Who is it talking about? Jesus and his disciples. And Peter calling to remembrance. We're not going to read the whole portion. Okay? But I will revert to what led to this. You already know. Right? All right. And Peter calling to remember saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou causest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto him, Have faith in God. Have faith in God. The margin says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Hallelujah. Powerful. So Jesus caused the fig tree, and then he took a lesson, a class on faith there, a very quick class on faith. Is somebody here? Glory, glory to God. Just a moment. St. Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 14. Orebekosaya. Okay, St. Matthew's Gospel 14 from verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship, to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart and prayed. Apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. We checked out the scripture on Tuesday. It says, but the, verse 24 now, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, doing what? Walking on the sea. Hallelujah. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Just a digression before we continue. To see the prophetic side of scripture. A preacher saw, be of good cheer. And then looked to his house. Looked around and his chairs were old. And he told his wife, the Bible says we should be of good cheer. Our chairs have to be good ones. And in a week, somebody loaded, unknowingly loaded new furniture are sent to his house. The realm of the spirit has no respect for English. Amen. Are you with me? That is strange, isn't it? The be of good cheer here is not the chair that you sit. I mean, he's talking about cheer up. Are you here? But you see, his faith was so strong. Why? Faith has magnitude and direction. Faith is of the heart. That his English was not correct didn't stop the intent of his heart from coming to pass. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hope that blessed somebody. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. You know the chair he's talking about. Hallelujah. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is thou, bid me come unto you on the water. Remarkable. And last week we said that is daring. And Jesus is looking for this kind of believers again. People that can test the limits of the covenant. People who can say, Master, if you are my God, let me come. Let me come. Peter said, Master, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus did not say, well, walking on water is an exclusive reserve of the Son of God. He says, something you should pay attention to is this, that Jesus never lived in such a way to exclude believers from the supernatural life. His teachings, the way he did what he did, and the things that were recorded for us, shows very clearly that Jesus was sent as God's prototype man to show us how to walk, to show us the way, to show us the possibilities that God had preserved for humanity to walk in. The Bible called him the second and the last Adam. Are you aware that the first Adam before the fall was a completely supernatural man? Are you with me? A completely supernatural man. The Bible says in the garden there were rivers. Rivers that divided the garden. How was he crossing them to tend the garden? He didn't have boats. But he wasn't limited by creation. He had lions around him. He didn't fear them. Are you with me? Is it fear? Or the lions were subject to him? Look at this. Fear did not exist. The Bible says God brought all the animals to him and he named every single one of them. Amazing. You know what that means? The name he gave them became the expression of their character. The name he gave them made them behave a certain way. That means he was conferred with such authority, such power, such influence. He wasn't afraid. Fear did not exist. He was super intelligent. God could trust him to name the animals. When he said, this is dog, he started behaving like a dog. Are you with me? But he fell and lost his authority. and became a slave to the very things he was created to lord over. He even became a slave to leaves, weed. Amen. His sons. Amen. You didn't get that. You are looking like what the pastor just said. I'm saying, why should a human be in bondage to leaves that is supposed to have dominion over? Selah. Are you with me? So now, Jesus came to model again God's vision for man. And then on this occasion, after praying, he walked upon the sea. Last they saw him walking upon the water, walking upon the sea. And Peter said, if it's you, master, bid me to come. That's what I'm trying to explain. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter walked on water. I don't want you to forget that. Peter walked on water. Oh, yes, he did. He said, but when he saw the wind, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, why did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. The Lord blessed the reading of his word. Why you're laughing? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so last week I began to tell you that this teaching is spiritual capacity building. You remember that? Spiritual capacity building. And I told you that by design, believers are to be water walkers and mountain movers. By design. So we're not designed to live less than the supernatural. And that is why to settle for any other life will always create a vacuum within you. It will create a dissatisfaction. You may look for things on the outside to fill that void, but it will not work. If you are honest with yourself, you know that, look, there's something supernatural about my life. It will be like an eagle who never learned to fly, who is strolling with chickens. Every time she lifts her eyes and sees the eagle soaring in the air, something will tell that eagle, I'm supposed to be in the air. Are you with me? By design, the spacious life. We read that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 11 to 13. The spacious life. He said the life you have is not small, but you are living it in a small way. There's nothing small. There's nothing natural about the believer. You know why? Because there's nothing natural about our God. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Nothing natural about our God. Hallelujah. So this to help you with capacity. And let me explain what I mean. It's to help you know how to yield to God for the supernatural. Because the supernatural is not just, it's not flexing physical muscles. It's about yielding to God. It's about learning to align with the flow of the Spirit, with the power of the Holy Ghost to get extraordinary things done. You may look ordinary, it makes no difference. God is interested in doing that. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, this is spiritual capacity building. And just to add again, the job of a minister is to call out the divine life within you. You see, when you have been raised in a certain way over time, you may bounce back messages like this. What do I mean? You hear things be like, please, don't give me false promises. Okay, you know, there are people who have been so whipped by life. They don't want to hope again. They don't want to believe again. When you tell them about the supernatural, I say, no, I just want to buy my business and just take whatever comes my way. I don't want my hopes dashed. Have you heard people say that? I don't want to get disappointed. So it becomes like a coping mechanism. So when they hear messages like this, supernatural, no, whatever comes my way. I have my degree. I have my business. I do my hard work. I just wait to go to heaven. No. No. Whatever doctor says is final. If they say it's incurable, I prepare to die. No. Yes, there are believers who think that way. Because when they hear messages like this, they consider it to be false hope. How could you call it false hope? How could you call it false hope? No. This is the real hope.
He said, these things were written for our learning, that we through the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. That we through these stories, as we read about Abraham, as we read about Isaac, as we read about Anna, about David, about Esther, are you with me? About Solomon, glory to God, about Elijah. Through the comfort of the spirit, we may have hope. I said, one of the things you notice when you read about the extraordinary men of the Bible, that they were ordinary. They were people like you. They were people like you. Oh yes, they were. But God did extraordinary things with them. You know, that's one of the things I love about the Bible. You, when you watch superhero movies in this world, there was no doubt that you could not do it. Do you understand? You didn't doubt it. When you're Superman, you didn't doubt it. Wonder Woman, you just look, this is movie. If it's real, it's for them. Glory to God. You can't stand on a building and try to fly. Are you here? But guess what? The superheroes of the Bible are people like you. And they are the real superheroes. So you hear the Bible say things like Elijah was a man like you. Are you with me? It's not false hope. It's not false hope. God can bless you until the nations pay attention. It's not false hope. You can be so blessed. You are saying, Lord, what do you want me to do with all this? But see, as you are hearing this message, you don't ask that question. Because you know that God blesses you for the sake of his kingdom. Are you with me? So don't bounce it back. It is your calling. It is your purpose. Last week I told you that God intends that through the superiority of manifestations, we will make him known. And the church is joining there. Are you with me? Superiority of manifestations. I mean, on every count. Finances, miracle working power, influence, excellence, superiority of manifestation. Glory to God. So a preacher calls out the divinity in you, not making you conscious of your humanity. So every time he's coming at you, I know it to challenge you. Yes, yes, the word of God is like an aircraft. It flies us to God's destination. Are you with me? And this is why we never reduce the word to fit our experience. We raise our experience to fit the description of scriptures. So how do you do that? By accepting it. When you hear that the life of the believer is a supernatural life, your response must be to accept it. Yes, he's talking about me. I mean, you are not trying to make excuses because of your current experience. No. If God has spoken, that's your future. Oh, are you with me? And that is your future. It doesn't matter where you are now. God's word is your future. God's word is your future. So you accept it. We are calling the divine life out. Oh, glory to God. We are calling the supernatural life out. We are calling the water walking life out from within you. What did John say? 1 John chapter 5 verse 13. He said, these things I have written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. That means he's saying, I want to communicate a consciousness to you. Does that sound like I want you to think like a human being? You know what eternal life means? Eternal life is the life of God. He's saying, I'm writing unto you Christians that you may know that you have the life of God. That's what he's saying. That's what the minister does. He was the one who wrote in 4:4, the same 1 John 4 verse 4. He says, you're of God. You have God and you have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Imagine going out thinking that the greater one is on my inside. The greater one is on my inside. The greater one that is on my inside. He wrote it. What did Paul say? He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, I want you to know. So he prays for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. He said, that you may know. What is the hope of his calling? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? That doesn't sound like he wants you to be ordinary. What of Jesus? In Matthew 10, Jesus looked at us. He looked at his disciples. He said, as you go preaching the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Are you talking to a human being like that? He said, freely you have received. Free. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You are going as Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. Cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead. That means they say somebody died, raise him up. Humans don't do that.
Yes, sir.
Humans don't do that. In St. Mark's gospel, he says, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. With the aid of a simple diagram, describe how you cast out devil as a normal human being. There are people that don't want to hear the name devil. A minister was leading a lady to Christ. And he said, see, after me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Say, devil, she looked up. Praise God. That's how humans behave. But my point is, we are divine. So the scripture is mostly addressed to that divine nature in you, to that divine life in you. Carnality does not help. Are you with me? It doesn't help. And what does it mean to be spiritual? To be acquainted with the word of God. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Glory to God forevermore. All right. So I began to bring your attention to an aspect of faith. You said, it is faith that moves mountains. It is faith that moves mountains. Mountain moving. Oh, Laba, let me say it again. It's in my heart to say this. Don't be afraid to walk on water this year. Even if you begin to sink, the master is there for you to call to. In case you didn't get it last week, I'm saying it again. Don't be afraid to walk on water. If you didn't get anything from the service, you should get that. Don't be afraid to walk on water. He said, what if I sink? The master is there to rescue. And it's real. Don't be afraid to take that step in that business. To take that step in that career path. Don't be afraid. God told you are getting married this year. You already have a wife to marry. Don't say there's no money. Amen. You don't need money to marry. You need faith. Walk on water. That's the word of the Lord for someone. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. I know in Africa, it doesn't... When you mention wedding, somebody's had to court. He's in the hall. He goes to prison. They say it's 500,000. He must not be in the hall. You didn't get that. And some of the pressures are unnecessary. My point is, live by faith. Live by faith. Walk on water. Hallelujah. Yay. All right. Are we ready to journey? Okay, so we said, our teaching and understanding of faith must be biblically balanced and New Testament oriented. And we said there's a way faith can be taught that will put you in a trap of self-effort and will trap you in this worldly ideology of self-actualization. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, but you see, when you study the subject of faith very closely, I said that last week, when you study the subject of faith very closely, you will see that the focus of faith is not you. The focus of faith is Christ. That means true faith is in him, by him, and for him. Are you with me? It's in him, by him, and for him. Glory to God forevermore. The focus is him. Oh, hallelujah. It's in him, by him, and for him. Galatians 2:20. It talks about being crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yes, not I. But the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. By the faith of the Son of God. So this means two things. Number one, faith doesn't flow by you trying to mentally ascend. By you trying to psych yourself. And there is a great difference that's at that first level. Let me explain this first. There's a great difference between Bible faith and self-motivation. There's a great difference. You know, when a motivational speaker said, look, anything you have set your heart to do, you have the ability to do it. That sounds nice, but does not pass the test of biblical faith. Are you with me? Let me say that again. Anything you set your mind to do, you can do. Have you heard that before? Amen. That has a context. You must draw it into the context of faith for it to make sense. For us, it's not just about anything you set your mind to do, you can do. No. For us, there's the basis for our faith. For us, there's a foundation for our faith. For us, we have a background. It's like saying when David was going against Goliath, he was depending on self-will and his skill for throwing the sling. No, his mind was on the covenant. He knew that God has spoken that his covenant people should never be intimidated. That when they rise in faith, the angels of heaven will support them. So he took steps with that consciousness. Are you with me? So when we talk about faith, there's a background. There's a background of the omnipotence of God. There's a background of the fatherhood of God. There's a background of the finished works of Jesus. That we have a speaking blood. We have a speaking sacrifice. We have a loving father. Are you with me? We have a father that has plans for us. We have a father whose power is directed towards us. And our faith is a response to what he has done. Are you with me? That's layer one. So the faith is in him and by him. Is in him and by him. And then I said, for him. Glory to God. For him means the focus of your faith. Must be in how what you are looking for can serve his purpose. Did you get that? How can he serve his purpose? How can he serve his purpose? The psalm had already said that he has given his angels charge over you. So you don't dash your foot against a stone. But the devil took Satan upon the pinnacle and he said, jump, and quoted the scripture. The devil took Jesus rather upon the pinnacle and told him, jump. But Jesus refused to jump. Are you with me? He had the ability to turn the bread, the stone, into bread. But he didn't do it. Why? In that context, how does it serve God's purpose? And this is why in the New Testament, you see that faith is balanced by love. Oh, glory to God. We're going to get into that. You see, faith is energized by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It's balanced by love. So, mountain-moving faith flows from seeing the Father and serving his purpose. Seeing the Father and serving his purpose. Hallelujah. Seeing him and the willingness to serve his purpose. So once you get this about faith, faith becomes an unconscious reality. That look is about who you are seeing. I spent time talking about that last week. There's an aspect of it I'll get into today. Seeing the omnipotence of God. How big is God? How big is God in your mind? That was the first thing I told you last week, right? The omnipotence of God. How big is God in your mind? How big? Oh, Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. I believe we read it. We'll read it again. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return, and Sarah, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, he's talking about an 80-year-old woman. But the phrase I want you to see, leading to that, he said, Sarah will have a child, and Sarah laughed. And then the Lord says, Sarah, why did you laugh? And Sarah said, I did not laugh. Sarah said, I did not laugh. Why? She was afraid. Amen. Or for whatever is said, I did not laugh. The Lord said, but you laughed. And she said, I did not laugh. And then he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? He did not say, that tells you, you see, when you read the Bible, you have the revelation of the Father. That scripture should show you that God is not petty. Imagine if some of you were the Most High God. I am that I am. Ancient of days.
I am here. And you are laughing. And you are saying, you did not laugh. You are finished. You are finished. But God is not petty. God is not petty. Praise God. He's not petty. What followed was the expression. This came from the lips of God. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe you have not seen that scripture the way I've seen it over the years. Every time I have a roadblock, a mountain before him, one of the scriptures I go to is there. Because one of the things I do is to blow in my mind the vision of the omnipotence of God. What can God do in this situation? What can God do with my life? Paul says, comparing spiritual with spiritual. The mountains of life are spiritual. The omnipotence of God is spiritual. When you place God's omnipotence side by side with your mountain, I told you, it will look like molehills. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So the question you ask yourself is, what can God do with my life this year? What can he do with me, for me this year? How big is God? And what can he do? Meditate on his omnipotence. Bible says he stretched out the heavens without pillars. Without visible pillars. How big is our God? What can he do with you? What can you trust him to do with you? You know, in meditating on this, I stumbled on the popular 1 Samuel, just put it up, 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7 to 10, about the prayer of Anna and the praise of Anna. How big is God? He's omnipotent. Because you see, your response to life will be affected largely by your revelation of his omnipotence. Your revelation of his omnipotence. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He brings low and lifteth up. God lifts you. Oh. He raises the poor. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world upon them. Invisible. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Hallelujah. So God takes the poor from the dust, the beggar from the dunghill, and then set them among princes. Set them among princes. God can change people's lives overnight. He can. All you need to do is let your heart be right. And let God's purpose be clear to your heart. That look, my lifting is for his glory. That's all. Are you with me? What can God do? I want you to think about it. What is your wildest dream for 2022? And then put it side by side with the omnipotence of God. With the God who made Amekor, who made a prophet from his stammer. His name is Moses. He was arguing, look, Lord, I stammer. He said, that is not the problem. You go and speak for me. If you think you can't speak, Aaron will interpret for you. He became one of the greatest prophets who ever lived. If after the Jews till now, he's the greatest prophet who ever lived. They don't believe in your Jesus. Are you with me? He was a stammerer. He made a king out of a forgotten shepherd boy. Forgotten. What can God do? So I say, put him side by side. You know what will happen? As you put him side by side with your vision, you will increase your vision. Yes, you will raise your vision. You didn't get me. Put your, what's your wildest dream
for 2022, put it side by side with the omnipotence of God. And you see that you need to review the vision upward. You need to review it upward. Are you here? I'm not whining you. I'm telling you the truth. You review it upward. He made a prime minister out of an ex-convict who was a foreigner and a slave. What can God do with your life? What can you believe him for? And this is your assignment this week, this month. Meditate on his omnipotence. He made a queen of an empire. Empire is not country. Hope you know. Empire is not country. It's not, okay, this is Nigeria, this is Ghana. Empire, emperors sit on kings. They sit on governors and presidents. He made a queen out of an orphaned slave girl. Do you understand? That's why I told you, the Bible will show you the weaknesses, the natural limitations, the challenges of the heroes that we read about. She was an orphan. She was a foreigner. She was a little girl. The omnipotence of God. He was orchestrated for God's purpose. God saw that an Haman will arise in the future and set up Esther. You know what Mordecai had told her? He says, who knows if God has placed you in the kingdom for such a time as this? I want to God that you think that way. But Lord, you are lifting me for such a time as this. There are things to be done for the sake of the name of Jesus. There are things to be done to advance the kingdom of heaven. There are things to be done. And you are lifting me for such a time as this. Hallelujah. In this life, Mark, I'm going to be so rich, the world will be afraid. Amen. They'll be writing about me all the time. You are here, I'm telling you now. I'll have so much money, I will not know how much I have. The anointing of God's Spirit will be so mighty upon me. Oh, some of the things that will happen. If you are told and you don't have a particular mindset, a mental construct for the supernatural, you not believe it. You not believe it. Some of them are already happening now. So if I told you that phones have charged in a meeting, will you believe? Except you're not there. The phone was charging. The power of God was present. How can you explain it? As I'm talking, some of you don't even believe. You see, it's coincidence. Be there. Listen, the Bible says if you believe the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. You saw aircraft flying in the air. At the point it was said to be impossible. Are you aware? That is still a miracle. It's a scientific miracle. That you can hold your phone and talk this piece of metal and talk to someone in London, thousands of miles away. Are you here? Thousands of miles away. So if I tell you that in the days to come, you angulate your mouth like this and talk to someone in America, will you believe? I'm expanding your mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He made an apostle out of a persecutor of the church. What can God do with your life? Believe in for the impossible. Believe in for the impossible. I don't know about you, but this year, Mandeba, we are soaring above the clouds. Oh, I believe in for the impossible. Are you with me on that? Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I was thinking recently, by divine orchestration, gold was brought to a manger. That means millions of dollars can meet me in Joss. Oh, you didn't get that. Gold. They carried gold. And brothers and sisters, it was not small gold. It's not three people that came to see Jesus. Three old men. And in people's minds, okay, small gold. No. There were wealthy men who came to worship him. Are you here? So we're talking about serious gold. But the point is, the gold came to a linear settlement called Bethlehem. Not in the hotel. They traced him by the guidance of a star. That is angelic. That means the angels of God can lead men to bring wealth to you in the forest. I wish you believe me. Are you here? Ghost came to Menja. You are visible now.
Yes.
You are visible. I'm talking about the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God. When you read your Bible, God should blow your mind. He should blow your mind. And he should give a picture of the range of the possibilities affordable to you. Are you with me? Glory to God forevermore. Hey, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, with that, I believe I concluded the first part, which is revelation. The second part is responding to God's word. We'll start there today. Responding to God's word. Mountain moving faith. The first is revelation. The second aspect, I want to bring your mind on, or your mind to, stay your holy mind to, is your response to God's word. First is revelation. And then second, faith is your response of obedience to God's word. Praise God. All they talk about seeing him is revelation now. Are you with me? So the second is your response. Your response. Your response. How do you respond to God's word? And when we say God's word, let me break it down into three for you. Number one is the written word. Number two is the instruction or spiritual leaders over your life. Number three is the leading of the Spirit. Now, that leading of the Spirit has many things inside, but I'll just find a way to compress them into one. So I said, number one, your response to the written word. Your response in obedience. Your response of obedience. Miracles happen. Mountains move when we act on God's word. Hallelujah. It does. Hallelujah. And it begins with responding to the written word. Now, listen to this. You know why I started with that? A lot of times, people are waiting when you talk about obedience, responding to the word. Some people are still at the place of understanding where the only thing that comes to their mind is hearing voices. And I have to attend to that. The first thing God wants us to be acquainted with is the written word. And I've told you before that the word of God is your greatest protection against the spirit of error. Your love for the word of God, I've been saying that for a while. Your love for the word of God is your greatest protection against error. And by extension, the first layer of responding to God's word, the first layer of moving mountains, walking on water, I'm going to say respond to God's word, is responding to the written word. The written word, according to Paul writing to Timothy, he says, the scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Are you with me? That means in the word you have doctrine. Doctrine that talks about principles. Are you with me? The revelation of God, I understand. In this context, it talks about principles. Okay? That means you get principles from the word. And locked within those instructions from the Bible, locked within the reproof, the correction, the instruction of righteousness, the revelation of principles is the power of God. And every time you respond in doing the word, you unlock that power. Are you with me? So he's not hearing God afresh. He's running with his word. And that's the first thing. See, if you have not passed that class, you are just deceiving yourself. How do you respond to the written word? How do you respond to the revealed principles and truth? What is your response in obedience? Are you with me? Locked within that is miracle working power. Oh, you already know about the principle of love. The Bible calls it the royal law of love. He says, walk in love. Walk in love. Not on forgiveness. Not jealousy. Not bitterness. So every time you decide to walk in love, you release a power. A power that makes things happen on the earth. Have you not read Galatians chapter 5 and 6? It says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor circumcision availeth anything, but faith which works by love. Faith which is energized. The right rendering means faith which is energized by love. So mountain moving faith is energized by you responding to the principle of love. Are you with me? So as we're talking about moving mountain, remember, after seeing God, after meditating on some potency, respond to the written word. Do the word. James chapter 1 says, we are doers of the word, not hearers. I love verse 25, and I'm going to read it. James chapter 1. Jamesy. Do you ever hear that? Amen. We know where you are from if you've ever heard that. In the flesh. Hallelujah. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, be not a forgetful hearer, but the doer of the work. What work? The work of the word. The work of doing the word. He said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall be empowered to prosper. This man shall be empowered to succeed. This man shall be empowered to make advancement. This man shall be empowered to move mountains. Why? He's continuing, not being a forgetful hearer, but the doer of the work. The doer of the word. He's talking about the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, responding to the word, responding to the revealed principles. Don't neglect it. There are things you already know from the Bible. Respond to them. And pay attention. Your love or giving. Giving, for example. Now, the reason why people don't respond in obedience to this written word, part of it is they are not hearing enough. That's the truth. They are not hearing enough. Because if you keep hearing, the faith to do will be there. And when you do, the power will be unlocked. So responding to the written word. Hallelujah. Listen, you have to understand this. That the idea behind giving, number one, is to help. Listen, financial prosperity is primarily an act of trust from God to loyal stewards, to faithful stewards. Don't forget that. It's about stewardship. And part of your training in becoming a faithful steward is God disconnecting you from money. Don't lie, your money has power. How many of you agree with me? Have you seen some of your friends change suddenly when money entered their hands? Newsflash, they did not change. They have always been like that. Money is an amplifier. Money is both a tool and a test. I told you. But the point is, they did not pass the money test when they didn't have so much. Are you with me? Talking about the friend. So for you, why? This is the mental, the thinking you should have around giving. That look, this is part of God training me to have Him as my source. So when you are to let go, you don't say funny things. Now, this January, this is the month of first fruit. Are you aware? It's the month of first fruit. You are to give your first fruits. But see, there are people who still think, if somebody will ask, when you are telling people should do first fruit, how do you want them to live through February? And I said, you are not a Christian. It's not Christianity you are practicing. Christianity is not NGO. Are you with me? Are you with me? Number one, who is your source? Christianity is a life of faith. It's a life of faith. So you see giving as God training your mind to not make money the God of your heart. The cure to greed is giving, I tell people. That's the cure to greed. You can never successfully give your way into greed. You can't. Are you here? You can't. And see, every time we talk about giving, we like to add because we know how people think. We are not telling you to do what we don't do. My wife and I give our first fruit to our prophet and pastor every January. We do. And it's in thousands of dollars. Are you with me? We do. We obey Galatians 6:6. Communicate to those who teach you the word. With every good thing. We do. So there is no month that we don't send seed to our prophet and pastor. No month. That is why when, you know, somebody was arguing with me. He was at home. She was there. Was arguing that must the Jew be the richest. He was talking about Bishop Oyedepo. And when you touch certain men,
you wake up certain things in me. I said, if he's practicing the principles the most, you see, prosperity does not have respect for physics. Is that not simple? I said, it's not about, you know, in people's mind, they say, okay, the pastor that is on top is collecting people's money. You don't know they are poor pastors. You know, this generation, there's so much knowledge but little wisdom. If there's knowledge overload but little wisdom. Part of the things that come with wisdom is critical reasoning. Okay, critical reasoning. Observe, analyze. You don't even have to be a Christian. There are things you will never say. Are you with me? So I told him, if he's the one who has practiced the principle the most in that place, he will be the richest. He should not pain you. It is God's law. When you obey it, it will work for you. Are you here? Number two, value. Those are the things I told him. I said, value. When you add value, it doesn't matter who hates you. Money must flow to you. And you see, as you consistently add value, are you with me? The amount of income that comes to you increases. Glory to God. You get a billionaire healed of incurable disease. You think you remain poor? Are you with me? So back to what I was saying. Always know that God is your source. And every time you can't, you are. Know that, look, your focus has shifted. Are you with me? And there's a blessing in it. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9. He says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. We can't get into that one today. Oh, that is God trying to be the alpha of your finances. The alpha of your finances. Are you here? Let me tell you, beginning of the year, we believe in first fruit as a ministry. As a ministry, we send our first fruit. Pastor Peter threw off us. That's as a ministry, not individual. We carry money in January and send to another ministry. And through the year, the doors are open. Are you with me? You see, in Ezekiel 44, it talks about it. You see, the first of the dough shall be the priest, that he may cause the blessing to rest upon your house. That means that he may cause empowerment to rest upon your house. Are you here? He said, give to the poor. He said, he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. He's now a law. When you lend to God, how much is your interest? If God borrows money from you, that's what he's saying. He said, when you are giving to the needy, you are giving to the Lord. Question, I'm talking about responding to the written word. The power locked in the principles as revealed in the written word. And do it with honor. Don't give to the poor to be televised. We live in a very funny generation. Are you with me? Don't do it. Don't do it. If somebody gave you money, if you run an NGO, somebody gave you money to help the poor, you need accountability. Do you understand? You should take the pictures and video. So I'm talking about televised charity. I'll not carry a bag of rice. They say, oh, see how pastor loves the poor. That's nonsense. An empty generation is easily deceived. Give to the poor and do it with honor. And it even starts with the little things. When you are giving your security man money, put it in an envelope. You understand? Don't throw money. There are three fundamental laws that governs giving: faith, love, and honor. Never forget these three things. That means when you give, you must give in faith. When you give, there must be love as the fundamental motivation. When you give, there must be honor in your heart. It doesn't matter who you are giving it to. Let me tell you, even when you are giving to the needy, you are not doing them a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. Are you with me? Whoever you are giving to your pastor, giving to the needy, giving to your parents,
And that's another side of giving. It could be recharge card. Give to your parents or people that are parent figures in your life. Give to them. Are you with me? Even if a prophet, a false prophet told you your mother is a witch, give to her. You've met those crazy stuff. Your mother, she did not eat you since you were growing up. Now you are now 40. A revelation has come. A Kai is your mother that is behind this. And let me even tell you, even if it's true that your mother is a witch, are you not a Christian? You think a witch can manipulate your money? No. Obey God's law. Give to the witch. Are you here? That's lower level operation. All this, they say, is my brother's wife that is after me. Is my mother's cousin. You know, you've done this. Brothers and sisters, don't have time for those garbages. Don't have time for them. Don't have time for them. And then you are not beefing somebody. Amen. You are not beefing somebody. We are bigger. We are bigger. We are bigger. Glory to God. We are bigger. Even though there's someone who is trying to do stuff, your prayer and fasting alone can clean them out now. Don't you think? And in fact, even when they get cleaned out, your heart of compassion, praise God. Your heart of compassion. There was somebody years ago that we were told by many revelations, me by inward witness, I already knew that the person was diabolical against our family. Amen. I saw the person 2 years ago. I traveled and I saw the person two years ago. I had compassion. Because, oh God Almighty, suffering. The person was a shadow. I said, how are you? A shadow. And honestly, I didn't remember all those things. What came to my heart was compassion. I wish you would find Jesus. We are bigger. We didn't spend time. You now. God is not punishing you. How? What's my... Praise God. Are you blessed? Glory to God. Are you blessed? Say amen, somebody. Glory, glory. Am I blessing you? All right. So, their basic revealed in scripture, published the word, is there. Psalm 68 verse 11. The Lord gave a word. Great was the company that published it. So, the point is respond to the written word. He said, don't forsake the gathering together of yourselves. That's an instruction from the Bible. Obey it. He said, well, I was stressed. Some people walk through the week and Sunday is the day they rest. And the rest means they don't come to church. Are you here? Don't be like that. Listen, God sent his son to die. Somebody died for you. And then just being in service for 3 hours to honor him once in a week. It's time you want to rest. You are wicked. There's no honor. Are you with me? It doesn't matter where I am in this world. I'll look for church to attend. It doesn't matter where I am. Sunday, don't say, I'm not in church anymore. Let me cool off. No. Cool off is the personal covenant. Are you with me? He says, it was said of Jesus in Luke 4. He said, as his custom was, on the day of Sabbath, he went to the synagogue. That's Jesus. It was a custom. And there's a place you get to where the passion for God's house should have eaten you up. You are passionate about God's house. Not just God, though. God's house. God's house. Because God's honor is in his house. Are you with me? Glory to God. So the instruction of the responding to the written word, responding to the instruction of authority figures, of your spiritual leaders, of your pastor. You will step into miracles. Listen, we fly by instruction. In flying school, you don't have professors. You have what? Instructors. That is very instructive. Who got that? That means in life, you want to fly. You fly by instruction. Instruction presupposes submission. Are you with me? Being guided, coming under authority. In flying school, they have instructors. You are not professing. It's not theory. The thing is very clear. Do this, do this, do this. Just give me Hebrews. We'll read that one. Open to Hebrews. Put it up if you can. Very quickly. Hebrews chapter 3, 7 and 17. I'm sure we'll just close here. We'll talk about the rest on Sunday. Hebrews. Proverbs 4 says, take fast hold of instruction, for it is your life. Take fast hold of instruction, for it is your life. Hebrews 13. Then I read it. Let's read verse 7 first. He says, remember them which have the rule over you. Rule. That's a strong word. Rule. 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 Listen. 21st century can never change the Bible. Never. Are you with me? Twitter is back, but it cannot change the Bible. Amen. Are you here? This is something. Woke culture cannot change the Bible. The apostolic rules are static and they are constant. Are you here? That means there are things that your opinion will not be sought about. Let me say it again. There are people that will have rule over you. Amazing. He says, thank you, Lord. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Hallelujah. All right, 17 now. 17, is it up? All right, 17, 17, 17. I want us to read it together. One, two, go. That means somebody must be accountable for you spiritually. You cannot be a wandering star. Amen. You cannot be a stray bullet as a believer. You're a stray believer. Believers are found in churches. Do you understand? I'm not just attending. He says, obey them that have the rule of... Is it the Bible? Some people wish they could tear it from the Bible. Obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourself. What? What? Now, if God says this, there's a blessing attached to it. I don't have time to go into many explanations. Your life will be saved. Saved. By submission. By submission. How many of you remember Bishop Oedipus' story? How they were in the air and autopilot failed. And they were headed to crash and supernatural intervention. Days before them, Pastor E.A. Adeboye, in the morning, drove to the house and laid hands on everybody, anointed everywhere. He didn't know what he was doing. He had this burden. Okay, that something was going to go wrong. He kept, you know how busy he is? He ran, came, anointed everywhere, prayed, boo, boo. Few days later, boom, autopilot failed. Think about it. Imagine if Bishop, he's not like that. If at that level, a person thinks he's already big. Because he's actually big. Are you with me? The dynamics of life. There are stories you can't even tell you on stage. Are you with me? Don't run your life. Be submitted. And then part of the sign of submission is responding to the instruction. Always watch out from the instruction that comes out of your pastor's mouth. Pay attention. The Bible says in that instruction is your life. Naaman's healing was in the instruction to dip 7 times. The instruction was in the mouth of the prophet. The sustenance of the widow of Zarephath was in the instruction on the mouth of who? Elijah. He said, go and make for me first. But for thus saith the Lord. Instruction. Instruction. Hallelujah. Instruction. Paul says, you have received our words like the word of God. And he said, therefore, that word works for you effectually. So every time you receive your pastor's words, like words that God has inspired, of course, it has to be consistent with scriptures. He says the word of God will begin to produce results in your life. Because there are things you can't do for yourself. This is God's design. This is God's design. Even me, I have where I run to. Amen. And they know that they are accountable for me. Do you understand? It's not like, you know, like I say, stray member, stray prophet, stray bullet. No. No, you are no. Sir, you are accountable for me. Are you here? So whether I'm in Dubai, it doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter. Are you with me? Mountain moving faith responds to the instruction of authority figures, of spiritual leaders, responds to the revealed principles and truth in the written word. Life is easier that way. Are you with me? Life is easier that way. Life is easier that way. And this submission is a level. For me, major decisions in my life, you know it now. You know it. I went to my pastor. I'm thinking of marrying this person, sir. What do you think? Take time. If it doesn't resonate in your heart, I'll not go ahead. That's submission. I did it. Do you understand? All my pastors and leaders is normal operation. Praise God. Are you here? Because not all decisions are the same. Forgetting your car key is different from marrying the wrong person. Are you here? Submission. Is it because pastors are narcissistic? They have low self-esteem. They want to be controlling people's lives. Okay. Amen. It's because people have gone ahead. There are things they can see that you can't see. By the grace of God, we start building this year. I cannot start building. Oh. Amen. Amen. Oh, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. Now, we won't start without me carrying everything and going to some. Sir, this is what we are thinking. This and this. What do you think? You have gone ahead. Moses, as a prophet, had a mentor called Jethro. Moses was so spiritual, he was kiting with God. But he told Jethro, he said, sir, stay with us, that thou mightest be an eye unto us in this wilderness. He said, because you have been here before. The Bible said, when Jethro came, Moses the prophet bowed. He said, you paid obeisance. Nobody outgrows mentorship. Nobody. Nobody. Are you with me? Her mentorship to a level means loss of control in a context. Do you understand? You can tell. Is it there? And I relate with you based on how you come now. It's not. There are people who have told you can't marry that girl, and that's all. The relationship scattered. They married another person, and they have peace now. Amen. And the ladies have told you can't marry that guy. Or someone say, give it time. There are those who don't listen. And there are those, and we have seen people hit wrong with pain in our heart. Nobody rejoices over that kind of thing. But you see, submission. I want to relocate to New York. Pass on my papers are ready. Pray over it. What do I do? I'll pray over it. Do you have peace about it? Yes, that is your peace. It's not my peace. Amen. I'll pray for you. Now, why am I giving these examples? We live in a generation that wants to put God's word aside and just pick what fits them. Discipleship in the Bible is expensive. Are you with me? It is expensive. There were things we were told never to do in ministry, and we'll never do it. Why? Submission. So we can't think it otherwise. We can't do it another way. Are you with me?
Are you learning something? Am I boring you? Very important. So, listen for instructions. When you are making major decisions, carry the person you regard as spiritual authority figure along. Are you here? And be open enough. See, if God led you to me, okay, if God led you to them, they will always be comfortable with your progress. And so nobody will say, okay, don't do that business. No, for some, no, nobody, no, nobody will say that. Nobody will say that. So you have to know that, look, it will be for your benefit to go in this direction. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Glory to God. And the last part is responding to the leading of the Spirit. I'll get into that next week, but you can write it out. Responding to the leading of the Spirit. There's power in this. Listen up. Life is deeper. You cannot just be going up and down by yourself. You need God. You need God. You need God. I hope you wrote that down. You wrote that down. Life is deep. You can't be going up and down by yourself. You need God. Life is deep. Life is deep. We kind of emphasize it. Life is deep. And your peace is multiplied when you do it God's way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God forevermore. Have you been blessed? Rise with a shout. Glory! Is that the best you can do? Rise with a shout. Glory! Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. I'm sure you learned something this morning. Put it to work. It's our year of emergence. Put it to work. And you see, when the word of God comes to you, God's word never guilt trip you. Do you understand? So it doesn't guilt trip you. Rather, it starts you off from where you are. So it's to make a fresh commitment and say, Lord, I will respond to your word. I will respond to your word. I'll respond to you along these three lines. I will respond. And can we just pray that prayer in 2 minutes? Just lift your hands toward heaven. I said, Father, I will respond to your word. I'll respond to your word. Go ahead and do that. Rebedu sikapa. Jalimento sike prodilaka. Jalimento kopredilako sishtepa. I respond to your word. I respond to instructions. Ina kopetosika en jabada laketosa. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I want to join your hands with someone standing close to you, just one person. And we're going to make prayer. Listen, this year is very pregnant. I can feel it. I know it. There are things God wants to do. And by the power of the Spirit, is rupturing the pregnancy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Meropa. Now, how many of you are ready? You are serious about having an extraordinary year. Let me see your hand. Extraordinary year. And truly, extraordinary. God has a mark. And like I said at the beginning of the service, of my session, God is set to do certain things for his name's sake. Maybe when you go, we can write it down. God is set to do certain things for his name's sake. Why? His work is urgent. Amen. His work is urgent. And I told you at crossover service that this year is a year of placement for God's people. How many of you remember? God showed me that this year he'll be placing his people strategically. He'll be placing his people, believers, strategically. Hallelujah. And you see, messages like this are to prepare you so you will know the reason for the placement. Doors will open for you. Doors. Crazy doors. Come on, see. You will now know the reason. Look, this is not just to go on vacation and lie down by the beach. Amen. That is nice. If you enjoy that, it's fine. Amen. But beyond that, that's not primary. The reason is for the kingdom of God. And that is the alignment of hearts.
he's making, I mean, that is what he's doing in our heart through this teaching again and again. We said faith is in him, by him, and for him. Faith is in him, by him, and for him. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. Lord, I believe you. Do extraordinary things with my life this year. Extraordinary things. And then I want you to pray over the visions God has shown you, over your goals. Who are doing that right away. Pray over and say, Lord, extraordinary things. I see your omnipotence. And I respond to your word. Do extraordinary things. Imakopa, with my life this year. Enokepa, extraordinary things. Extraordinary things. Extraordinary things. Shepetona, talk to the Lord. Extraordinary things. In my work of faith, in career, in business, family life, extraordinary things. Extraordinary things. Extraordinary things. Extraordinary thing. Japato Lebila Rebendokosa. Can you talk to the Lord? Lord, extraordinary things. For your glory, for your glory, for your glory, for your glory, for your glory. You are leading me in the path that I should follow. Extraordinary things. Rebendo copatosila, imando lo copatosa, gemilando copredila cosa, rebedele dongo sica, imando copetosa, gebedola milaco, embedola sica purebedosa, gemendo copatola, legebele de gepo, repetonda kipa, eamanala conda. E paranon cosibatola. Woo! Extraordinary! Woo! Pray! E ma copatola ba. Repalon, I'm ready. Repetobalika. Do wonders with this life for your glory. For your glory. For your glory. Wonders. For your glory. Rapatole bilaka. Put the vision before you. Put the visions before you. What are you looking at? What is the Lord showing you? It's possible. It is possible. Woo! It is possible. It is possible. It is possible. You can walk on water. You can say to the mountain, be removed. Be cast into the sea. Yes! It is possible. It is possible. Rekopa, remendoko, shepetolaba, lekopetosa. It is possible. It is possible. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It shall be as you have said, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to bow your heads, everyone. Just bow your heads. Just keep standing. You can bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to give someone the privacy of this moment. You are here and you've not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. You've not given your heart to the Lord yet. I want to pray for you. You want your sins forgiven. You want to be restored to the Father. You know you are straight. You know you don't have a relationship with Him. Like we say always, this is not to display you as the worst sinner, but this will give you an opportunity to make it right with the Lord. God loves you. Yes, He loves you very specially. He loves you personally. And this is to respond to His love. So right where you are, if you are saying, Dr. Caris, pray for me. Just lift your right hand where you are and I'll pray for you. If you are saying, pray for me, I need my sins forgiven, I need to be restored to the Father, so just lift your right hand where you are. I need to make a commitment to the Lord. Lift your right hand where you are. If you're watching online, there's a link there. You want to come to Jesus, there's a link there you can click. The link is pinned in the comment comment section. The link is pinned. So you pray this prayer with me and then click on the link and drop your details. We will reach out to you right away. That's for those online. In the hall, can you lift your hand? In the overflow hall, you are in that category. You want me to pray for you. You want to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus? Just raise your hand where you are. Thank you, Jesus. If you are doing that, raise it high. Raise it high. What do you need to do? You need to believe. And believing is of the heart with confessions made with the mouth. So you're going to pray this simple prayer with me. And the Lord will come into your space and the relationship will start. Say, dear God, can we pray together as our custom? Say, dear God, I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent Jesus, your son, to die for me. I believe that he was raised from the dead after 3 days. And today, I confess that that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Therefore, the power of sin is broken. I receive forgiveness. I receive eternal life into my heart. I receive a relationship with you. You are my Father now. I can call you Father. According to your word, I am saved, restored, and born again. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for saving me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you pray that prayer, please wait behind after the benediction to meet together with those who are worshiping with us for the first time, and then we will attend to you there. I want to say congratulations. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.